You are talking about the nonsensical ravings of a lunatic mind.
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
You know, it is, it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
You know, we've seen three glowing figures out in the field. It seemed like their heads were glowing.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
Week-long vacation with his batteries recharged. You are now tuned in to the Paranormal Patriot. Thank you for joining me this week. As always, wearing the tinfoil hat, I am your gracious host. My name is Tom Velasquez, and yes, from Friday, July 24th through Saturday, August 1st, I have spent the last week camping at the beautiful Tequamanon Falls State Campground in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Regardless of where you reside on this planet, be it in Michigan, be it in the United States, or anywhere else around the world, you owe it to yourself to spend some time in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I really haven't spent a lot of time there, and let me tell you, this is a different world up here. There are things that you are going to see that you are not going to see anywhere else. I'm going to talk a little bit about the vacation because it has something to do a little bit about the show, because up in the UP of Michigan, Bigfoot's a pretty big thing. So I want to talk to you about that, and I want to talk to you about what we did, what we saw, and then we're going to get into, and let's be honest, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, you're in the middle of nowhere. So you're really not getting any telephone reception. I was blacked out for over a week. I had no updates on news. Sean Ryan, who has turned into he's turned into a researcher for this show. Sean, I appreciate everything you did. Thank you so much. Right before I left, he sent me a message saying, "Hey man, the Pentagon's going to release some UFO stuff. You got to talk about it." And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to get signal up there. Keep me informed. So he sent me the article, and I'm going to go over that because. And it's weird because when I got back in town, when I got signal on the way home, I mean, my phone's going off left and right. And I'm scouring the internet. Thank God I have an awesome wife that can pull the camper, drive the vehicle, pull in the camper. And I'm sitting there on my phone just scrolling through trying to find info on this Pentagon release. And there's really not much out there. And I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? I would think this would be worldwide news. But no. It's all COVID. It's all Donald Trump is bad. It's the same thing over and over. It's like I never even left. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about a bunch of other stuff because things did happen. You know, I got a three-hour crash course of what happened, actually almost 4 hours, of what happened in the world in the week and a half that I was basically blacked out. And I'm scouring. So I'm going to try and condense it and make it a feasible, entertaining show. I hope I can do it. I don't know if I can because I've never worked really on this quick of a turnaround where, look, I don't know what I'm doing on this week's show. I have no idea what happened in the world. So I get in the car. I drive across the Mackinac Bridge. Great sight. You got to do it if you haven't. And driving, I got down to just below, I think it was Clare. And, you know, down in Clare, the wife wants to drive, and I'm like, okay, so I'm just scouring the internet. So it actually wasn't even 4 hours. It was almost like 2 hours. I'm just scouring my phone, dropping signal, scouring my phone when I get signal back, trying to find out what happened in the world. But back to the vacation. So in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, first off, for those of you who don't know, the only way to really get there is to go over the Mackinac Bridge. And the Mackinac Bridge is a 5-mile-long suspension bridge. I think it's the biggest suspension bridge in North America. And just going over that, and I was not comfortable going over that hauling a 25-foot trailer, camper trailer or whatever, travel trailer. I was not happy and comfortable doing that, so the wife did it on the way there. Yeah, call me a wimp, I don't care. But it's really, I mean, if you've never seen Lake Michigan and Lake Huron, there's a reason that they call them inland seas, and it's because if you look at them, they look like oceans. I mean, they're blue. They're blue, you can see the bottom, they're beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And you trust me, as you go over the Mackinac Bridge, you're way up there, and it's just an awe-inspiring sight. So we get to the campground, and I've been to Tequamanon Falls once before, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's kind of neat. There's some drops in the water. And, you know, the kids, they want to go and play in the falls. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not a good idea. But we look out, and there's families left and right playing in the falls. I'm like, okay, so they had a blast playing in the falls, and it's beautiful. The water's almost, I mean, my wife nailed it perfect. She says it's like a frozen Coke flowing over the waterfalls. That's what it looks like. It's that color, and that's from the minerals in the water, the copper or the iron. I can't remember. I think it's the copper in the water, because up there, it's a huge copper industry. Always has been. Even, trust me, there's proof that the Bronze Age, the ancient Egyptians, they were mining copper out of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan long before records were kept. And we're finding more proof of that. But you have to understand that when my family goes on vacation, we go on vacation and we do things. Because a lot of times where we go, we don't go there again. We like to go, we've never been here, let's go here. We've been to Whitefish Point. I love Whitefish Point. Whitefish Point has the Shipwreck Museum, the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum. Everybody's heard of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the Gordon Lightfoot song, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. That sank in Whitefish, right outside of Whitefish Bay. They actually have the bell of the Edmund Fitzgerald in the Whitefish Point Shipwreck Museum. Now, we didn't go in there last year because we've been there literally 2 out of the 3 years. And it's really cool. It really is, because you have shipwrecks, artifacts from these shipwrecks from the Edmund Fitzgerald all the way back through the early 1800s. And it's so cool if you're into that. But regardless, we went to Whitefish Point because they have a beautiful beach right on Whitefish Bay. And my wife and my daughter love to look for rocks on the beach, and I guess they're agates. I don't know what the draw of an agate is, but it's apparently a very treasured rock, and looking for petoskies and looking for just cool rocks. And they can spend hours and hours and hours on end scrounging that beach looking for that one perfect rock. And trust me, they found some really, really cool rocks. They found a lot with fossils. They found things I've never seen before. So we spent a lot of time there. We went into Paradise, Michigan, and trust me, Paradise is—it sounds great, but don't blink. It's right outside Tequamanon Falls. It's the closest city to Tequamanon Falls. They've got a gas station that is just—they don't even have the digital pumps. They've got the roll. You know, remember when we were growing up, all you old people, how the numbers used to roll? That's what they've got there, and they've also got. Let's see, they do have a grocery store that is maybe stocked, sometimes stocked. They have a convenience store right outside of the campground, of the Lower Falls campground, that it's scary, to say the least. You walk in, and it's like you step back into the 70s, and it smells like you step back into the 70s. It's sketchy, but the people there are absolutely amazing, and this is where my Paranormal Patriot stories come in, is I have never been. Let me back up a little bit, because it leads credence to the story I'm going to say. So on Thursday of this past week, we decided we were going to do the pictured rocks, and those of you in Michigan and maybe around the surrounding area will know what I'm talking about, the pictured rocks boat tour. Well, we couldn't get a ticket. Apparently, these things are the hottest tickets since Garth Brooks. So we decided we found something called the Munising Glass Bottom Shipwreck Tour. And I'm like, that sounds cool. Because you go on this huge glass bottom boat and you go to two shipwrecks that are just below the surface in Munising, which is right on Lake Superior. So we decided to go to that. And I got to tell you, we are so glad we went on that trip instead of the Pictured Rocks trip. Because not only do you get to see the Pictured Rocks, and trust me, when I say Pictured Rocks, they're not just rocks with pictures on them. What they are is they're cliffs of solid rock, and they have little caves and little crevices, and it is so cool. They've got waterfalls coming off of these 50, 60, 70-foot cliffs into the water, and it looks like you're in the tropics. And then you go around, and you'll find this inlet that is just carved out of the rock, and it's got a little beach in there. It is just amazing. You've got caves all along these rocks. But we went and did the shipwreck tour, and there's one, it's called the Bermuda, that is the only fully intact shipwreck in the area, I think in the Great Lakes, to be honest with you. But you go down to the bottom of the boat, and there's four areas where there's a huge glass bottom. And they go over this thing like four or five times. And it is so close you could touch it. And it is amazing. It is preserved. You can see it still has rope. It still has chains. You still have anchors. There was another shipwreck that they actually moved out off of a reef because it was a danger. They moved that away. And it still has the toilet. It still has the bathtub. It still has the smokestack. You still see the anchor. It is so cool. After we left that trip, we went to a place called Canyon Falls. Now, I'd never heard of it. Not a lot of people have. If you live in Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota maybe you've heard of it. But I don't think a lot of people have, because I talked to a guy before I left, because we planned on going there prior. But I talked to a guy before we left who used to live up there for 5-6 years. And I'm like, yeah, we plan on going to a place called Canyon Falls. He's like, where's that? They said, I don't know, it's past Christmas, Michigan, it's past Ishpeming, it's past Champion, and it's way out there. It's right on the Keweenaw Peninsula, which is right in the top of the UP. I just never heard of it. So I'm like, oh, gosh, if he's never heard of it, what do I expect? They call it Michigan's Grand Canyon. And I got to tell you, I didn't know what to expect. So we get there, and we come up this trail. It's basically, this is a roadside stop. I mean, it's got a couple pit bathrooms in there, and that's it. It's just somewhere to stop if you have to go to the bathroom. And oh, by the way, there's trails to Canyon Falls back here, just so you know. So I get there, and I'm like, this is a roadside stop. And the wife's looking at me like, what is going on here? We decide to go, and we walk, and literally 5 minutes you walk, and you start hearing rushing water. I'm like, oh, well, there's something back here. And I look, and I'm like, oh, this is Canyon Falls. There's a half of a foot drop here, and there's a couple rocks. And I'm like, this is kind of disappointing. And there's trails leading farther and farther and farther. And I'm like, okay. So we go, and the falls get a little bigger, and they get bigger, and they get bigger. And then we start hearing some people hooting and hollering down the river. I'm like, what's that? So we go off the beaten path. Now, theoretically, you're not supposed to go beyond this, but we do. And we get to the spot, and it just opens up. And it is, I can see why they call it Michigan's Grand Canyon, because literally it is, the river has carved out 50 feet of a gorge, and you've got rapids, and you've got, I mean, it is absolutely stunning, to say the least. And we look over, and there's, and I'm assuming a father and his son on the other side of the river doing jumps into the river right beyond one of the waterfalls. The waterfall was about 20 feet high, and they're jumping. It had to be about 30, 40 feet. And we're like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, we're yelling back and forth, and he's like, no, just dive in from your side and swim over to this side. It's awesome. And I'm like, nope, sorry, not going to do it. Well, of course, my daredevil son decides, yep, I'm doing it. He dives in. My nephew was with us, my daughter, her friend, and my other son decide, yep, we're going to do it. And then my wife says, I'm only going to be here once. I'm doing it. So they dive in. Well, not dive. They jump in, and my daughter's girlfriend comes up just terrified, bawling. Because apparently, where you dive in, there is no bottom. Nobody ever touched the bottom. It is so deep. So she dives in expecting to hit the bottom, and she's not. She's not hitting the bottom. Plus, you have the current pulling on you, so she's trying to swim up, and the current's fighting you, and she doesn't think she's going to make it up. Well, she finally makes it up, and she's like, nope, I'm not doing it. Well, you get to the other side, and there's another platform, which is about 15 feet higher, so they all jump off of that. And it is they just had a blast. So then we go farther into this river system, this fall system, and it gets even better. I mean, it's just amazing. I can see why people call it Michigan's Grand Canyon. We took pictures. It will not do it justice. I cannot even begin to describe the beauty. Just imagine a river, a raging river with 40, 50, 60-foot waterfalls flowing through it, dropping down into a gorge of just rock. And just, it's just beautiful. But on the way home, we had to travel through what they call the Hiawatha National Forest. And I've seen forest per se, but I got to tell you, I've never seen an actual untampered with natural forest. And as I'm driving through this forest, the first thing that pops into my head is I can see, honestly, how Bigfoot could not be located, how he could hide in this forest. Because honestly, you're driving, and if you look over, you see one to two rows of trees, and then you see nothing. It's all covered with trees. It is black as night, and this is at 5 o'clock at night. So we're driving, and it's bright as day out until you get two or three rows into the forest. There is no doubt in my mind that you could hide a Bigfoot. You could hide a dog man in there, and you will never, ever find them. Because that stuff is so thick. I couldn't imagine trying to track something in there. There are trees inches apart, and they're not little itty-bitty trees. These are trees with some girth to them. I don't know how people walk through here. But I'm thinking of this the whole way through. Now, I'm driving home, and it was a couple-hour trip back to the campground. And by the time we got back, it was getting dark, or it was dark. While I was driving through the forest, it was getting dark. And all I can think of is, okay, I'm either going to hit a deer, a bear, a moose, an elk, or a Bigfoot. Which one? Because the trees are right. You've got the road, and you got trees. There's nothing in between. So the trees are right on you. It's kind of imposing. It's kind of intimidating. But it was really awe-inspiring. But it's weird because, you know, I'm the kind of guy, because of what I do here on the show, I kind of like to promote the show everywhere, so I did. I kind of promoted the show. Hey, how you doing? You know, how long you live up here? All my life. Yeah, it's great up here. I said, it's beautiful up here. I talked to probably 20 people. And, you know, that same conversation. How long you been up here? Well, if they've been here, most of them been up there all their lives. It appears that if you've lived there your whole life, you are going to die in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Me, I could never do it. I could never live in the UP just because everything is so spread out. I mean, we went through a pretty big city, which is Newaygo and Ishpeming, and there's really not a lot there. And, you know, you drive a long way to get to them. And me, I'm not a city guy, but I'm not an outback, out-in-the-country guy. I'm somewhere in between. That's why I'm happy where I am, because I kind of got a little bit of a get away from me, stay close or stay far away from me. But I'm like, I need to run to the store. 5 minutes, I'll be right back. But talking to these people, you know, you talk to them, and you just kind of get a feel for who they are. And you know, I always brought up the same way the conversation. I'm like, man, there's Bigfoot merchandise everywhere around here. Oh, yeah, Bigfoot's pretty big up here, eh? And you got to realize, when you're in the Upers, they have a certain accent. It's almost like a Canadian-Finnish accent. It's really, really cool accent. But you talk to them and, you know, you ask them, so what do you think? Do you think it's real? And it amazes me how many people not only think that Bigfoot's real up there, everybody thought it was real, but there are a number of people that claim that they have seen Bigfoot. And, you know, thinking about that and going through that Hiawatha National Forest, I am a firm believer now that that is something that could actually be true. You know, I've always believed that there is a possibility that Bigfoot exists. I always have. But going through that forest and seeing how thick that forest is and how once something goes beyond the second row of trees, they're gone. It just solidified the proof to me that, yeah, there is no doubt that there are probably things we haven't seen in that forest that we don't even know about yet, because it's amazing how thick that forest is. You know, you may live by a forest, but it's been cultivated, it's been trimmed, it's been, you know, kind of kept in check. These forests up in the UP, they're just growing. And there, you can't see beyond the second row of trees. So to say that Bigfoot may exist, yeah, there's a very good possibility, because once that cryptid leaves that second row of trees, you're never going to find him. Same thing with Dogman. But the moral, or the subject matter that I'm trying to convey to you on this is, it amazes me. Everybody up there believes in Bigfoot. Everybody believes that Bigfoot exists. A lot of people have seen them. So, for me to say, I don't think that happens, that's not really a thing, it's just a myth, it's just a figment of people's imaginations, there were some people that were adamant that this thing, it exists. I've seen it on multiple occasions. And it was a pretty eye-opening, uplifting trip, not only because we really enjoyed ourselves, and, you know, the wife, there's a lot of things that the wife checked off her bucket list. She wanted to go see the Grand Canyon of Michigan. She'd never been to see Pictured Rocks. Well, she got even better than Pictured Rocks. You know, she got to hang out in the falls of the lower falls in Tuquamanon, and it was a good trip that way. But, you know, from a show aspect, it was a good trip that way, because it just reiterated that, yeah, Bigfoot does exist, and you could hide that thing out for years and years and years in that forest, and you will never find them. Never find them. So I just wanted to give you a little bit of a synopsis of what I did on my vacation, why I enjoyed my vacation, and the confirmation of what I believed for a long time. It was just confirmation, you know. These people live up there all year, and they see bear, they see moose, they see elk. They know what they see, and there are many people out there that are adamant that they have seen and witnessed Bigfoot, and they weren't joking. They said, yeah, there's a reason why every store you come across has some Bigfoot paraphernalia. It has Bigfoot merchandise. Yes, because it sells, but it's because everybody here has seen it. It's not a myth. It actually is a real cryptid. It's a real being. It's a real thing. That's the most common words I heard. It's a real thing. So honestly, if you haven't done it, regardless of where you live, go up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and just enjoy the beauty that it is. You know, I guess I have to do this because our governor, one of her many, many dumb ass moves was she just completely slashed the Pure Michigan budget. The promotion, the campaign that brought in millions and millions of dollars every year in tourism, she said, nope, not worth it, and killed it. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and I'm just going to update you on the news, and we're going to talk some UFOs. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back. We are all accused of passing the plane. That you promised a world that's free of hate. Love is hiding deep instead.
This is Harvey Gott, and I'm the host of Satire Is Not Dead. Join me every Wednesday for new episodes. Satire Is Not Dead is in the Cinescape Media Network. You can learn more about this program and other programs by visiting cinescape.media.
Do. So I ran outside, put the sun in my eyes, met up with Uncle Chuck, stole an ice cream truck, drove in a pothole, ended up in the hospital, through quiz with the patients, you're a baby present.
Alrighty, so again, I was gone a week and a half and completely blacked out, was out of the loop of everything going on, so this is a 2-hour drive home, mass, complete cram of things that really caught my eye. And the first thing was Ghislaine, I think, I can't remember how to pronounce her first name, but you know who she is, Maxwell, Epstein's ex-girlfriend. There is a judge that ordered the documents unsealed. And I'm telling you right now, politicians, royals, celebrities, they're quaking in their boots. And for good reason. So some of the highlights is, hey, Bill Clinton, he was witnessed on numerous occasions to be on Epstein Island in multiple times with young girls. I mean, honestly, is anybody surprised? Bill Clinton, anybody surprised that he would be on Epstein Island, which is basically Orgy Island, with two young girls or multiple young girls? Is anybody surprised? No. Alan Dershowitz, he says he's never been there, but there's documents that say, well, he was procured young women to have relations with. Prince Andrew, oh, well, there we go. There's a shock. He's been pictured with Virginia Guthrie, I think that's her name, and, well, I've never met that young woman in my life. Well, here's a picture of her. Better yet, here's a picture of you with her. No comment. You know, he's going to die of mysterious causes soon when this all comes out, because the royals are not going to stand for it. They're already in peril as it is, but Let's look at things a little deeper on this, because honestly, if you can't connect the dots now that Hollywood is just a huge pedophilia ring, you're blind to the world, and it's really scary how blind you are. But let's look at this. Jimmy Kimmel, he says he's taking a break. Ellen, let's talk about Ellen for a second. She has decided, or she's going to decide, that she just doesn't want to do her show anymore. Why? Because she's being investigated for her behavior in a working environment that was very, very hostile. Now, I never really watched Ellen, her show. All I remember, I watched it once when Prince was on there, and I remember her at the end of the show saying, "And please be kind to one another." Apparently, or something to that effect, but apparently after every show, she said something to the effect of, please be kind to one another. But I hear she was a horrible bitch. There are records stating that she was sexually harassing employees, offering oral sex to them, or offering to receive oral sex from them. I mean, this is Ellen. Ellen was everybody's, oh, she's such a sweetheart. This is who Ellen really is. Now, she says she tried to apologize, and it really came off horrible. She sent a letter to her staff stating that, you know, from day one, she wanted the show to be a place of happiness and respect where everybody got along, and somewhere along the line, something changed, and for that, she's sorry. And she said, you know, I'll bear responsibility for this because my name's on the show, but we'll move on from this. And a lot of her A-list, and I put that in parentheses, A-list friends are just turning their backs to her. At this point, they're like, oh, hey, Ellen, she's tainted meat. Let's stay away from that. We don't like the apology. So they're coming out on social media and all over the world stating that, you know, I don't like the apology she gave. It wasn't sincere enough. So Ellen's in a lot of trouble. So let's start over. Jimmy Kimmel, he is, quote-unquote, taking a break. Ellen is about to be canceled, and who knows what else. Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks has left America and became a Greek citizen. anybody concerned about that, or just he loves Greece that much? Now, listen, I'm Greek. I would love to go to Greece. But, you know, all of this upswell, Tom Hanks is a pedophile, Tom Hanks is molests children, is growing and growing, and the case against him is growing and growing. He had coronavirus, supposedly, and then he's now in Greece, where in Greece you cannot extradite anybody to the United States for any criminal offense. So he's basically free as long as he doesn't leave Greece. So I'm curious to see what happens. Is every other movie he's going to make going to be in Greece now? Piers Morgan is taking a break. Jenna Jameson. Now, listen, I don't agree with Jenna Jameson's past, but you know what? It is what it is. Come to find out, you know, reading her story and listening to what she said, she's basically been a victim of child trafficking. She was a victim of child trafficking that was brought in to work in porn movies, and she made a great living, I guess. But she has been exposing, and she went public about being raped, conditioned, and trafficked in Hollywood when she was a child. She says she knows exactly what's going on in Hollywood. She was a victim of Hollywood. She didn't want to be in porn movies. She was conditioned. She was abducted and chosen to do that. So now she's speaking out against it, but nobody seems to listen to her because she's just a porn star. She's a whore. She doesn't mean anything. Well, maybe we should listen to her. Avicii, I think that's his name. He's some DJ. I should know who he is. I thought I was hip, but apparently I'm not. He, quote-unquote, committed suicide, Jeffrey Epstein, days after releasing a video for a better day that is highlighting child trafficking. Justin Bieber released a music video, Yummy. And when that first came out, everybody thought, oh, that guy's a child pedophile or a child trafficker. He's a pedophile. Listen to what he's talking about. No, listen. What he's talking about is he was a victim of quote unquote Pizzagate as a child. He was part of the child trafficking epidemic that's going on across this country. Honestly, go to whatever music platform you get music from. Well, first off, go there and download Multiple Myself and Tommy V and get all their songs. But download Justin Bieber's Yummy or stream it. Doesn't matter. But when you do, listen to the words. He's basically telling you what happened. And the media is silent. Nobody's saying anything. You know, the judge appointed to the Ghislaine or whatever her name is, Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein case, her son was murdered by a quote-unquote FedEx driver, and her husband was seriously wounded. It was a planned attack. Jeffrey Epstein, we all know what happened to him. He didn't kill himself, or he killed himself, however you want to look at it. And if you say he killed himself, sorry, you're an idiot. Honestly, I mean, this is all coming out, and it's so easy to connect the dots if you actually do the research. So right now, Chrissy, we forgot about Chrissy Teigen. Chrissy Teigen is a huge pedophile. She was a huge part of Jeffrey Epstein's island. She was a part of the huge, huge child trafficking, sex, Luciferian, you know, I dare say cult sacrifices. But listen, she was called out on, and the tweets are out there. I'm about to Anthony Weiner this kid. You know, Sarah Silverman tweeted for everybody to see, hey, is it molestation if a child is hitting on you? I need to know really quick. That was a Sarah Silverman tweet. Chrissy Teigen said, I'm about to Anthony Weiner this kid, among other things. And all of a sudden, people started connecting the dots and saying, hey, that's a little off. So when they started asking her and demanding, hey, what the hell are you talking about? That sounds awfully pedophilia. Awful pedophiliac, I guess it'd be. She made her Twitter account private. She deleted 60,000 tweets and blocked over 1 million followers. But yet, Twitter and Facebook, they're going to block any conservative QAnon. They're going to block them. They're going to block conservative views. They're going to block QAnon. But they're going to let these pedophiles, these child rapists, these child traffickers, they're going to give them a free rein on social media. Why is that not the biggest story on the news every single day? I saw a stat that is staggering, and I don't remember the numbers, but in general, your child has about a 1 in 500 better chance of being abducted and sent into the world of child trafficking than that child does of contracting COVID. How scary is that? But yet, COVID is the end-all be-all. It amazes me, and this is where I want to start something, and I think I'm going to. If I can find the time, and this is where I need all of my listeners who deeply feel for this subject of child trafficking. This is not a joke. Here in Shiawassee County, Michigan, we have one of the highest incidences of child trafficking in the state, in the country. So this is very dear to me because I have kids. I know of families that have had their children abducted. I want to start, and if I get the time, everything is a blur now with the wife. She's August 10th, everybody. She's starting her basic radiation treatment to try and stem the tide of this cancer. So everything's going to be a complete blur for me for a while. So I will do what I can, but I'm going to need your help. I want to start a promotional awareness of child trafficking. I want to get the word out so there is no doubt anywhere. The media has to cover this. They can't cover it up because, listen, the media is culpable in this. They're hiding John Podesta. They're hiding Chuck Schumer. They're hiding Andy Schiff. They're hiding George Clooney. They're hiding Chrissy Teigen. They're hiding Tom Hanks. They're hiding Steven Spielberg. They're hiding who else? Jim Carrey. They're hiding all of these pedophiles. That is what they're told to do. Now, I'm not saying there are no Republican pedophiles, but I'm going to tell you right now that the majority of the pedophiles in the political system that we have today are Democrats. I am praying and hoping that all of this comes out and you will find Nancy Pelosi, you will find Barack Obama, you will find Michelle Obama, Adam Schiff, you will find Chuck Schumer, you will find Jerry Nadler, anybody in the Democratic Party that has been there forever, who has power. Joe Biden, obviously, he's a pedophile. He's a sniffophile. It's right in front of your eyes, people. Just look into it. The media isn't talking about it. They're not going to talk about it because that is their bread and butter. The Democrats, the Hollywood elites, the politicians, they're not gonna just write off their mainstay of money. They're not going to write off their mainstay of power. The media has a ton of power nowadays, and it's been given to them from the Hollywood elites, and it's been given to them from the Democrats, and they're not going to cash in that cash cow. They're going to hide their misgivings, their illegal activities, their horrific crimes, and just say, no, never happened. It's up to us. We have to bring awareness. Let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know if you want to be involved in this. I want to get my listeners involved in this. This is a unified front here. I want to bounce ideas off of everybody's head. We'll get a huge organization going because this needs to stop. And it stops now. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. And on the last thing of that one, listen, it's obvious that Hollywood, politicians, the royals, they're all involved in this child pedophilia ring. Jeffrey Epstein was just the tip of the iceberg. This goes way deeper than Jeffrey Epstein. Honestly, he's kind of like a pawn in the game. But you know what? Names are going to be released. Bill Clinton's name has already been released, and he's already panicking. He's denying any any time of ever being on Epstein Island, even though there are pictures of him on the island. A picture of him in a red dress, I don't know why, on the island, and multiple witnesses stating that he was on the island, let alone Jeffrey Epstein's plane, the Lolita Express. He can't run from this. There's no way. People are going, at least I hope so, people are going to get smart and say, okay, there's too much evidence here. So connect the dots. Honestly, let's all look at this thing in a logical manner. There's a concerted effort to hide the child trafficking epidemic that's going on in this country, and it's being hid by the mainstream media, the Hollywood elite, and the Democrats, because they are the ones who are in control of it. Let's put an end to it. And honestly, you know, people think Donald Trump is this horrible guy, but trust me, he's got a plan. He knows what he's doing. Let's take, and this will be the last subject I have before the break, and then we'll talk about the UFO news that happened over the past week. But my email was all full of people, apparently Democrats and some Republicans, that were really concerned about this, that listened to the show saying, oh, well, Donald Trump said he wanted to postpone the election, Tom. Doesn't that mean he thinks he's going to lose and he's trying to postpone it or stall the election? Now, first off, he never said that he wants to postpone the election. When you put question marks behind a sentence, that means you're asking a question. If you put a period at the end of that sentence, that's making a statement. So if he would have said in his tweet, postpone the election beyond November 3rd, period, that would mean he says, we need to postpone this election beyond November 3rd. That's not what was tweeted. What was tweeted was, postpone the election till after the 3rd? Question mark, question mark, question mark. He's asking a question. He was relating it to the mail-in ballot and the opportunity for fraud. Jerry Nadler, he said there's a very huge opportunity for mail-in fraud or voter fraud with mail-in ballots. That was 10, 15 years ago. Now, oh no, there's no possibility of that. Yeah, you can't have it both ways there, fatty. So I get all these people telling me, oh, he's trying to postpone the election because he thinks he's going to lose. No. Let me tell you something about Donald Trump. Do I know the guy personally? No. But I study the guy, and I see what he's done over the 3.5 years of his presidency. And I'm going to tell you, he's calculated. He knows what he's doing. When he says, well, if we can't be safe voting, maybe we should postpone the election beyond the 3rd of November? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Asking a question. Posting and posing the question out there that maybe, because I'm the president, because COVID is so dangerous and it's so widespread across the country, that maybe we should postpone the election. In other words, make him president longer and maybe have another election when this COVID thing is done. Because he knows this COVID thing is a farce. It's the biggest political hack job this country has ever seen. So he's the president. He can postpone the election. And all he's going to say is, look, it's not safe enough out there for anybody to be voting. We need to postpone this election. And we're only going to do it when it's safe for people to go out and vote. Which is exactly what the Democrats are telling everybody. You can't go out and vote. You have to vote by mail-in. Well, he's just going to say, nope, we're not going to do it. We're just not going to do it. We're going to do it when it's safe. In the meantime, I'll continue to be president. And that is basically playing the Democrats. Now, if he actually follows through and starts making more serious threats about this, you watch this COVID thing dry up in a heartbeat. It's all of a sudden miraculously going to go bye-bye. Because now the Democrats are going to be like, well, wait a minute. Wait, it wasn't safe to vote, but now it is. Now you can go vote. That was their ace in the sleeve is COVID. You can't vote in person in COVID. Well, Donald Trump's going to say, well, if it's not safe enough to vote, we should probably postpone the election. That, my friends, is why he posted that. He's not stupid. He gets it. He understands these Democrats. He knows what they're doing better than the Democrats know. So he'll play them at their game. Oh, well, if you're going to play the COVID, it's not safe to vote, well, we should probably postpone this election. And then the Democrats are going to be scrambling. Well, what the hell do we do? So the only thing they can do is say, oh, Donald Trump's afraid he's going to lose, so he's going to postpone the election. Whatever. You can go ahead and think that if you want, but it ain't true. Donald Trump knows what he's doing. He's going to play the fear card, the fear porn card against the Democrats and say, well, if you're just going to say that it's not safe to vote, well, then we aren't going to vote. Let's see what happens then. All of a sudden, COVID's going to dry up. It's going to go away, and you're never going to see it again because that will be another losing hand by the Democrats because Donald Trump knows what's going on. That's my take on it. Let me know what you think. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to talk to you about the UFO conspiracy, I guess, that has been going around while I've been on vacation. We're going to try and make heads and tails of it, and we're going to talk about that and maybe a little more. I don't know. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back. Show. I know you liked him. So go ahead and listen to his podcast, Vanishing Gates with Jay Miles. You've heard Jay Miles on the show. It was a great interview. I guarantee you learned something. You can learn more. If you like the paranormal, if you like the supernatural, if you like true crime, you owe it to yourself to go listen to Jay Miles in Vanishing Gates. Wherever you find podcasts, you can find Vanishing Gates. Go back and listen to the show with Jay Miles on The Paranormal Patriot. You will find out how he got the name Vanishing Gates. An amazing story. You have to listen to it. If you like true crime, if you like the supernatural, if you like the paranormal, you owe it to yourself to listen to Vanishing Gates. And by the way, it's Paranormal Patriot approved.
You got the upper hand. I've been down on my luck. Yeah, I've had better days, but of high, steep falls. There's a reason why people love an underdog. Battles on one, they just show who you are. And in the end, you know I'm all in mine. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon enough, you're gonna watch me fly.
All right, so I want to give a quick shout out to Sean Ryan. He came through in spades on this. As I mentioned before in the first part of the show, he contacted me right before I left for my vacation. I knew I wasn't going to have any signal, stating, hey, there's word that the Pentagon's releasing amazing UFO news. You going to talk about it? And I responded to him like, oh my gosh, I'm going up north for a week and a half. I'm not going to have signal. Keep me informed. So he sent me info, and here's what we know so far. So a long-hidden UFO investigative unit within the Pentagon apparently made some findings public. Now, this is according to a New York Times report. The unit, which is now a part of the Office of Naval Intelligence, has spent over a decade discussing mysterious events in classified briefings. A government contractor told the New York Times that he was given a classified briefing to the Department of Defense in March detailing materials from off-world vehicles not made of this earth. Now, the United or Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force, UAPTF, at the Office of Naval Intelligence was described in a Senate Intelligence Committee report last month. So there's a little bit of credence to this. The unit standardizes the quote-unquote collection and reporting on unidentified aerial phenomenon, any links they have to adversarial foreign governments, and the threat they pose to U.S. military assets and installations, unquote. However, the committee remains concerned that there are no unified, comprehensive processes within the federal government for collecting and analyzing intelligence on unidentified aerial phenomenon, which we call UFOs. Now, this is despite the potential threat. Now, that is in italicized. That was italicized in the report, despite the potential threat. It also states the committee understands that the relevant intelligence may be sensitive. Nevertheless, the committee finds that the information sharing and coordination across the intelligence community has been inconsistent, and this issue has lacked attention from senior leaders. I'll stop right here for now. Does this surprise you? The senior leaders in the military want to bury this. They don't want the public to know that UFOs are real. Now, where did who is the person that is saying, and I've read through the articles and I can't find anything. Where did this source come from? What is the name of the source that said they have materials from off-world vehicles? Because honestly, right there, that is worldwide breaking news. I mean, it's headlines for days. And did you see anything about it? Because I sure as hell didn't. Now, granted, I was gone, but I would figure this would be on every Facebook feed on every single page. We are not alone. It's been proven. Not the case. So my question was, okay, I'm on vacation. I can't get anything. I know the Pentagon's releasing information. What's the information? I finally get to the to a place today where I can get information, there's really nothing going on. I expected the world to be turned upside down by the time I got back. It's the same. COVID's the lead story. Donald Trump's bad. Donald Trump isn't handling it. Joe Biden's leading by 80,000 points in the polls. It's the same thing. So I'm asking myself, okay, is this true? I don't know. I mean, this is where the listeners of this show help me out here. I've been gone a week, almost a week and a half. I can't find anything that this is true. But obviously what this tells you is our government has been lying to us. They said they haven't been investigating UFOs or UAPs, whatever you want to call them. That's a lie. So they've been hiding that from us. So with that being said, if they're hiding the fact that they are investigating these, obviously they think there is some legitimacy to what's out there, to what these people are seeing, what they're experiencing. Obviously they think there's some validity to that. So if the government can lie about that, how can they not? How can you expect the government not to lie about the validity of off-world objects? Now, when off-world objects is said, everybody thinks, oh, extraterrestrial, another planet. Listen, if you want to talk dimensions, you want to talk other planets, you want to talk parallel universes, that's off of this particular world. I'm going to talk to you in one of my stories next week. I'm running out of time this week, but apparently the CIA has essentially concluded and told the world when nobody listened about some really, really strange things that are actually true. We'll talk about that next week. Little tease for next week. But, you know, I've known since I was a kid that UFOs are real. And more people are understanding. I mean, I saw the best analogy the other day. I was talking to one of the guys up north in the UP, and he says, you know, not believing in aliens, because somehow we got on this subject. He says, not believing aliens is like dipping a spoon in the ocean and saying, oops, there's no whales, no sharks in there, so therefore they don't exist. That is the perfect analogy. We know a minuscule amount of the space around us. Heck, we don't even know the spectrums on this planet. The human eye can only see a certain range of spectrum. There are multiple different spectrums that we can't see. So what the hell is going on in those different spectrums that we don't see? There are many ghost hunting, paranormal groups that have a full spectrum camera. And what is that? It's a camera that can pick up what the human eye can't see. And that's where they get most of their compelling evidence of a full-bodied apparition walking through the frame. Because we can't see that because our eyes are not equipped to see that full spectrum. We can only hear a certain range. What are we not hearing? I mean, I'm honest, it's not to me, and this is just me thinking out loud, it's the epitome of arrogance to think that what we see around us is the end-all be-all. It really is, because there is so much more around us that we can't see. You know, we see a certain range in the spectrum. However, the actual range of the spectrum is huge, and we don't see any of that. So there is something going on in that spectrum that we don't see that could change our lives if we only knew. What do you think? I mean, honestly, this UFO thing, contact me and let me know. Give me some info on this. I can't pick up anything. I've done research. And granted, my signal was kind of sporadic. I got home, unloaded the camper, came down here, did a show, so I really didn't do much research after I got home. But clue me in. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you know about what they said. I mean, honestly, did they admit that UFOs are otherworld craft and they have proof of that? They have actual artifacts and actual craft that they've captured. Because I read some articles that say, yep, they said that. And other articles said, no, they really didn't say that. So let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. And also, honestly, we need to bring child trafficking to the forefront. And I know a lot of my listeners, this is a cause they can get behind. We're going to make this hard on the media. We're going to make this hard on Hollywood. But I can't do it without you. I've got a lot going on, and I'm just one guy. So contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Give me your ideas, and we'll brainstorm. We will make this a Paranormal Patriot listener function. This will come from you, my listeners. We need to get this under control. This is the story, not COVID. It's not COVID. So contact me and let me know what you think, how you want to proceed with this child trafficking, what you think would be the best way to raise awareness. And let me know what you think about this UFO thing. Contact me and let me know what was actually said and what was actually done and what actually happened. Sean, thank you for all the info. Brandon, thank you for your input. Everybody out there, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be back next week.